It's time to link up for Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.
Yes, morena Desley.
Morena, morena, how are you?
Yeah, we're good. How are you this morning?
Oh, look, good. It's been a really busy week. Sad in some respects. We lost a very key person, Sharon Hawke from Ngāti Whātua this week, which is very sad. Yeah. Was actually tangi yesterday. Did a huge amount of work in the environment space, breast cancer awareness, of course, all around Takapara Whau and Bass 10 Point, etc. Launched a new AI tool We launched a new positive AI tool for reporting problems, which is really exciting, you know. Making it simpler for people to report the likes of graffiti, illegal dumping. We've got five on that that we're trialling, and that launched on Monday. So, yeah, it's been crazy and all busy, but that's the day in the life of the Deputy Mayor, right?
Lots happening. There's the brand new Auckland City deal as well, which is top of a lot of people's minds over the last sort of couple of weeks. It feels as though this is a positive step for strengthening a relationship between Mayor Wayne Brown and central government that can at times feel a bit fraught.
Yeah, look, this is good for Auckland in a number of ways. I think one of the reasons, and actually even since the creation of the super city, not just even this term, central government has not always responded to Auckland's scale or needs, right? Because we are very different. We are a third of the country, you know, 40% of the GDP, but we are actually governed differently. So this deal kind of represents a slight shift on the relationship with central government and local government, which needs to be tight for both of our sake, actually. You know, the old story, when Auckland does well, New Zealand does well, you know. So the basis to that regional deal is a bit of an agreement that we have to communicate better and respect each other better for what we are. Now, that might be pretty basic for most people, but it hasn't always worked that way. And I think, you know, we don't like it when we read in the media or hear in the media that the government's going to do something which affects Auckland. You know, so this is about actually having a grown-up conversation, they say. I just say it's sort of a normal conversation about respect for both sides. We need central government, and central government needs us, right?
Mm.
And for that relationship to be great and sound, and for Auckland to benefit, both sides need to get on, regardless of any, you know, your political view. You just need to get on. You need to be able to give your point of view to each other, and you need to agree what you're going to agree on, and be respectful. So that's kind of the real basic part of it. I mean, I would just say put a woman in the room and you'd sort them out. But anyway, that's kind of the basic. That's the basic. You know, for me, that's the foundation of the agreement. But then, of course, it gets into some really interesting specifics. And it's about a 30-year transport strategy, and I think that's really important. You know, transport is a big issue. You know, we have been until transport reform comes in, you know, the only council in the country that doesn't control its road corridor. But more importantly, we know that when we do big pieces of transport infrastructure, we need government partnership on that. And I'm talking about things like, you know, the central CRL, Eastern Busway, etc. like that. So it's about a coordinated transport strategy, including, you know, the Northwest, Botany Airport links, Mill Road, all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
Second part of it was a review of Eden Park's ownership model. Now, we actually launched this yesterday. So the government have changed the rules and unleashed Eden Park, which is an asset that council doesn't own. It's independent, of course. But it's released Eden Park to be able to have more events, more concerts, more things that Aucklanders love and we need as a city, right? People love them, but they're good for economy and for Eden Park to really realise its full potential. It needed some change around that. The government started that, but of course, in doing that, they have two big sporting codes there, Auckland Cricket and Auckland Rugby. And there has been in the past some sort of, well, not some sort of, but there has been in the past slight tension around being able to book events and concerts versus the obligations that cricket and rugby have had in their ability to do what they need to do there as well, right? So yesterday, as part of this agreement, we did the media launch for what we called the foundation agreement of Auckland Cricket moving their sort of domestic side to Colin Maiden Park. And this is great for Auckland Cricket and great for Auckland because obviously they get a new home at Colin Maiden Park, and then it frees up some of that relationship and timing booking systems that they've had at Eden Park so that they can still do the big test cricket there, but it means that Eden Park has more flexibility around, as I said, their events and that everyone loves so much. So that's been quite exciting, and I was part of those negotiations to get it to that point, which I must say was not exactly the easiest job I've ever done, but everyone was very happy yesterday, which was excellent. Another one was on sport was the new roof at Auckland Tennis Centre. So again, that venue can be utilised more. It's about utilising our assets to best that they can be, right? But it also has other things in there about innovation precincts, tech and the like, and stronger global links, you know, things that we do together. What else has it got in there? It's got a collaboration around things like biodiversity initiatives, including, for example, predator-free 2050 and Hauraki Gulf restoration, stuff like that. So that, it's actually a good deal. I think it's a good deal. It's a good deal from both sides, and the key now is just to move forward and put it into action. But it's really exciting.
Well, yeah, as far as sort of saying out loud that we're all going to get along and come to an agreement, it's a nice promise. But it is sort of, I mean, I do want to touch on the transport plan, because it's all very well to sort of say we're all going to agree, but historically, and even quite recently, like, there has been a lot of contention between central and local government. You know, Wayne Brown's voiced a lot of opposition to some of National's roading projects, which he claims are sort of unaffordable. It took a really long time to get CRL off the ground. How are we going to ensure that there's actually going to be an agreement here and things will be more efficient?
Look, I mean, you've highlighted the problem, right? And the regional deal is the paperwork to cement that solution, you know? And actually, it's about saying, well, we've got this agreement, now we've got to live by it. There are some, and this is supposed to be a document that goes past just three-year terms. I think that's been one of the issues. You know, you get a political team of people in central government for 3 years and a political leadership on Auckland for 3 years, and sometimes, and then they change, and then, you know, what happens to those ideas you started? So this is more about a document that can actually transcribe multiple governments and multiple Auckland leadership terms as well. And look, no one's ever going to agree all the time, but it's about agreeing on the things that you do agree and getting on with it, right? I think the transport stuff, look, half the problem is you can't pull these big projects off in 3 years. So they have to be agreed and then put together in this agreement so that, you know, they do go through multiple governments. I mean, CRL is a perfect example. You know, it was started way back by, you know, one government had something, a few different governments in the middle, and then ended by, you know, hopefully this government, because I think everyone wants it opened before election day, including me, although we haven't got a date. But, you know, that's just politics does come into this, it does. And so this agreement, or this regional deal, is about saying, right, once we agree to something, let's lock it up so that it can go forward.
Are you getting closer to having a date for the CRL?
Oh, no one's going to say that. And look, I'm on the sponsor agreement thing. Second half of the year is all it's got. As I said, my only thing I would say is I would say that everyone hopes it's sooner rather than later, but no one is saying anything other than the second half of the year. Look, the trains were down, as you know, over Easter, and they're still testing. I went down the other day. I think I went down on Tuesday night. I went down to Tawaratu Station, watching the trains come through really frequently, you know, every 5-10 minutes, and, you know, staff are getting off. They wait. They're checking the times that they think people will take to get off the train, get on the train, and for it to move again. No one's going to open CRL regardless of any political push until they are pretty sure it's ready to go. You know, I mean, I remember the mayor and I met up with Sydney Metro, and they said, if I could give you one piece of advice, well, I actually asked the question, if you could give us one piece of advice that, you know, to take that you've learnt, what would it be? And they said, for heaven's sake, don't open until you're ready.
Okay.
Forget what everyone wants you to do. Make sure it's ready to go.
Mm.
You know, I think Aucklanders have been incredibly patient. Why we've closed the rail, or you haven't, Kiwi Rail, have closed the tracks down for testing and, you know, more infrastructure investment and getting, you know, getting it all ready to go. They will not be happy if they have to close again. So it, once it's open, it needs to be open and it needs to work.
Mm. Just going back to this Auckland City deal, it's you know, we've got a list of the commitments and priorities, but it is relatively limited in terms of funding commitments. Are we expecting to see budgeting around this come out before election day, or are we sitting with a list of kind of vague commitments for a while?
Yeah, look, it's a bit, I mean, that's the discussion that's now ongoing, right, between the mayor and the government. I mean, the government will have a budget coming up. We've got our LTP budget come up, which is our long-term plan budget. And this is where, you know, we both sit down and talk about what we're actually going to commit to. I mean, the deal's got, you know, areas of growth, for example. Drury's a big one. You know, we've got, you know, major housing out there with schools, hospital and local infrastructure. Well, you know, we want to know what the government's investment is there. We've heard already, you know, they've started dripping things out. So we've heard already that we're going to get a new hospital out there. They've started looking to secure that. And we'll have to align our infrastructure around that as well. So it's a, you know, we just need to talk to government more often and get agreement and get the planning right. And it's just about communication and commitment.
Just before we let you go, I do want to touch quickly on the St. James Theatre, because we've had some exciting news about the renovations moving forward. A potential basement second venue space, which is very exciting for us music heads. And I just wanted to confirm, so the Auckland Council $15 million funding has been confirmed earlier this year?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
So we partnered with central government. And look, you know, we just talked about politics, right? You've got to admit that when something's initiated by the Labor Party, championed by the Green Party, and formally signed off by the National Party, it's a good project, right?
Mm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And that's actually what happened with the St. James. I think Carmel Cepelloni was the initiator originally. Chloe has been very strong, of course, as the local MP, and Honourable Paul Goldsmith signed the deal. So it's really exciting on what's happening there. There was a huge Save Our St. James campaign. It's one of Auckland's most loved, you know, buildings. And I have I just want us to be one of the biggest cultural music and arts venues in the Southern Hemisphere, in the Southern Hemisphere. And this will be one piece in a big jigsaw puzzle for venues and for the arts. And so, yeah, we were very happy to commit with the central government around that. And
it hasn't always been that way, though, right? Because Wayne Brown suggested that the council pull its commitment back in 2024. So I'm curious as to what's changed.
Well, let's just say it's secured now. I think I'll just leave that one there. I'm a huge fan. I think it's going to be great. Yeah, I love the arts, and I'm really big champion of the arts. And I think, as I said, this is a great opportunity to have a venue. You know, Auckland loves the Civic, right? As an old historic theatre. And you know, theatres and the arts, you know, we don't complain around sport. You know, you can say, well, here's a field, you know, play sport on it. But there is a difference between football and rugby and cricket and the arts are the same, you know?
Yeah, and one could argue that sport gets a whole lot more funding than the arts in this country.
I absolutely back that comment.
Yeah.
And I'm a big arts champion, so, yeah, I'm really pleased.
Cool. Oh, we're stoked.
That's just about all we've got time for. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Desley. Always lovely to have a cordial with you, and I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Same to you. Ka kite.
Ka kite. Okay.
That was Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.